Malcolm from Alberta is texting in, and he's doing some crack research for us.
Yeah.
About the O-Dawgs' record, 39 minutes and 24 seconds in a game.
34.
39, 34? Well, I don't want to shortchange you 10 seconds. And Malcolm's saying it was only 24 shifts. You only played 24 shifts.
Okay, so it's a typo. Unless you were taking almost two-minute shifts, minute 40 shifts.
You never know.
It's a typo. We got to figure out who runs Hockey Reference.
Well, the worst thing Hayes said, he's like, you would think the league would flag that. Like, I know it's a little bit over. Like,
now, could it be 1934 or 934?
No, I think it's 1934 because.
I didn't know I was out of yuck yucks.
Dregs, you're already in trouble because we brought up your name in the 4 o'clock hour. I don't know if you heard this. You better defend yourself.
Uh-oh.
You took these guys to, it wasn't even a golf course, apparently.
It was a goat ranch.
It was a parking lot that had holes in it. That's basically.
Okay, hold on now.
Talk to me about
this. Now, Brian had a good time. Did you not have a good time, Brian?
I had a good time, too.
Yeah.
But I can't play a chord. Six iron off the tee that goes over the green.
Yeah. Now, wined and dined, prior to.
Oh, yeah.
We had a good time. You stopped by the house.
I stayed over at your house.
I don't invite many people to my house. He left his wallet there.
Didn't he invite himself over?
It was a bit of a gong show.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Can I tell one story?
No. No, I'm not hearing it. Not on this radio station.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay.
But in fairness, it was a charity event.
Right.
I didn't know the course was that bad because I'd never played it before. The course itself wasn't horrendous. It was the tee boxes. They were like sand traps.
Right. It wasn't well kept.
I mean, it was no good.
No, it wasn't well kept. I don't think there's a lot of money invested in the makeup of the course, so to speak. But
I will say this about O. Yeah. And I know he chastised me in the 4 o'clock hour for getting them out there.
Right.
These guys were pros. They represented Overdrive and TSN well. Shook hands, kissed babies, did all the things that you have to do.
Yeah.
Raised money for the hockey team.
That's awesome.
Stayed in there post game for the weenies and French fries. That was the post game meal.
Nice.
And then
watched your buddy vape himself to death.
That's vape man.
That's right. Is he still vaping?
Oh, like you can't believe.
What's the point? Like, you know, I know it's like he used to smoke and now he vapes. But if you literally never stop vaping, that can't be healthy.
It can't be good for you.
No.
We tease him about it all the time. It's the inhaling, right? So it's at like 2% nicotine. So there's barely anything there. But it is just the exercise of having it in your hand, you know.
Going through the
sucking it in and exhaling all that.
He's that guy
garbage.
That goes on a boys' weekend and just buys three cartons and says, "Screw it, I'm not vaping."
And like packs them in his bag beforehand,
yes. And they're gone when he's home.
Yeah. Golfing with him, speaking of golf, is impossible because he never takes that thing out of his mouth, and it's just constant
vape.
Yeah, that would get aggravating. I read a piece that like smoking because of vapes and how prevalent they are now in society. Smoking is on the way up. For kids for the first time in like 30 years because it's become a big thing. Like everyone vapes and it's easy to get your hands on and they're all flavored different.
But I heard kids are now, there's these little one-timer vapes that they hide in their like hoodies.
Oh, yeah.
And they can
vape. Are you sure those are vapes?
Yeah, they're not. It's not nicotine. Yeah.
In class or something tobacco. Like that.
Sad but true.
Yeah.
It's no good. No good.
Anyway.
Man, did we get off... Whatever the topic was, we're not there.
It's been one of those days.
Yeah.
It's been one of those days. So the Maple Leafs, no moral victories, clearly. You know, you're a very good team. You lose. But they played better last night.
Yeah.
But you've been in this market for a long time. You've been covering the sport for a long time. You know Babcock pretty well. The heat's up on this guy in Toronto.
Sure. Yeah.
Are you feeling that too, Dregs?
Yeah, he knows it. But he knew that was going to be the case prior to the start of the year. Every speed bump would be analyzed and overanalyzed, and it's an educated fan base, and they would see it for what it is, right? So wherever this team finishes, unless they go deeper than I expect in the playoffs, just the way things are lining up, the heat is going to obviously get turned up. And there's also something else that I don't know that we've talked a lot about from a Toronto media. Maybe you guys have chewed on it on the show a number of times. You've got Sheldon Keefe.
Mm-hmm.
He's not sitting on the Toronto Marlies bench for the next 2-3 years. He's not. Somebody is going to hire this guy. We were at a GM's meeting a couple of weeks ago in Boca. His name came up 5 times from other general managers. Yeah. Is he really that good? You know, like those kind of conversations. And I don't know what the relationship is between Babcock and Kyle Dubas. We think that we can read between the lines when you hear and see some sniping and whatnot. I'm going to assume that it's pretty good. But Mike Babcock was hired to deliver results. I think this team is too green, too young to win a Stanley Cup this year. But, you know, if you're management, are you sitting there going, geez, you know, are we okay with another year or two of this? And are we okay with letting Sheldon Keefe go to another club? Because mm-hmm. we think he's a pretty good development coach. I don't know. I mean, those questions, those discussions have to be going on.
Absolutely. Do you think Dubas has the power to make that coaching change on his own, or would Shanahan have to be involved?
I don't think he has the power, no. But that wouldn't be unusual either, not because of Kyle's inexperience. You know, Shanahan certainly was instrumental in the hiring of Mike Babcock. But the only reason I would even question whether or not there would be some consternation from Shanahan's perspective is because Joel Quenneville is out there. You know, if Joel isn't on the unemployment line, isn't it obvious that it would be Sheldon Keefe? Mm-hmm. Feels like it to me. And it still might be obvious to everyone. So maybe Brendan Shanahan included. But he's gone through some tough times in his time with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And if you think your team is that close, then you name a better closing coach on the planet than Quenneville.
Yeah. I still, my instinct, this is not from knowing at all, I feel regardless what happens, Sheldon Keefe is next in line. Just from the relationship with Dubas, you know, I agree. Q, you know how biased I am towards Q.
Yeah.
I love the guy. I had him.
I love him too, but I don't think they're going to go from one $6 million coach to another $6
million
coach.
But that's why I say I think Keefe is the next in line. If they decide to move away from Mike Babcock in the near future, whenever that is, year, like I just feel that they've almost, and this, don't quote me on this, but promised him like, hey, you know what? Hang around here. We're going to pay you well. Because I can't even imagine what he makes in the minors, but I guarantee you he's the highest paid coach in the NHL.
Well, they kind of did that with Dubas. For sure. Like, I don't know if Shanahan gave him a guarantee, but he said, you're not going to Colorado. So.
Right, but that's what I'm sure that there is probably a wink-wink handshake in place as to, you know when things change here, my guy. So but I don't know that.
But let me ask you guys this. You don't have to be a player to be able to answer this question, but there's nothing inside that tells me, other than the obvious, that Mike Babcock could potentially be on the hot seat.
Yeah.
So when you guys watch games, are you seeing anything from a player standpoint that goes, I mean, there's a disconnect. There's something that's developing here that is showing me that they're not. I never liked the idea that players quit on this guy or quit on that guy. Because I have too much respect for the player.
You don't have to love your coach, but you got to respect him and do what you're told and do what you're asked to do. The one thing from a coaching perspective is the shots against and the defensive play in their own zone, that is coaching. You can't teach a guy to rip it under the bar, but you can teach a guy to be in position and know understanding of where to play defense. That is coaching. So everyone's saying $6 million a year, highest paid coach. Why isn't there more coaching in their own zone? Because it never gets better. It was brutal before he got there, and it's basically brutal right now.
Well, I from just observing, I never thought that until last summer where it got leaked that Babcock had to fly out to Arizona. I don't know had is the right word, but did. And he downplayed it and said, I go to see Freddie. I go to see my top players. But that one sounded like he needed to get on a bird sooner than later. And to your point, you don't have to love your coach. You have to respect him because, you know, I look back on my coaches and I love them now. You know, Daryl Sutter, Joel Quenneville, Jacques Lemaire, Al Arbor. I look back and think, man, was I ever lucky to be in the presence of that greatness. But at the time when they're hard on you or they're not playing you, they're doing certain things, You're not in love with you're no. not going, hey, can no. come over for no. dinner, let's have a beer. There is that disconnect. And back then, the old school, it was the coach and the players never talked. Nowadays, I feel like I think Mike is a communicator. I think he is a guy that tries to morph into today's game. So I don't even know if you have to love him, but to me, there has to be some results. There has to be that, you know, that's a Babcock-coached team. In Detroit, we knew that because of the little things that they did. And he relied on his top players, Datsyuk and Zetterberg, to implement that in the room and have it trickle down. And I think he's trying to rely on Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and the younger core leaders in this group to have that trickle down, and they're not there yet consistently.
Well, I want to get back to your point, Dregs, where you look at the Leafs and you think they're too green to win a Stanley Cup. And I don't think you're alone with that take. But this is where I could see a disconnect between the coach and management. And I'm not sure which way it would side. You know, if Babcock would support that, or if Babcock would say, I think we can win, let's go get it. But, you know, Patrick Marleau's on this team. Ron Hainsey's on this team. They just gave a lot of money to John Tavares.
Yeah.
There are vets.
Wouldn't there be a comment before the season saying, this team's too green to be a top five team in the league?
But I don't think
How do you go from a top five team in the league to too green to be winning a playoff series or two or whatever? It's like, are you green enough to be a top five team in the league, but you can't win in the playoffs? Top five team in the league.
Right. That's what I think they are.
Too green doesn't do that.
You know, they're green, they're young guys, core pieces, but there's a lot, you know, there's guys here, Nazem Kadri's been in the league for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just saying, I don't know if that'll be accepted by Leaf fans.
And I would understand that. And that's really the essence of the Babcock conversation, because otherwise it doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense, right? I mean... They paid this guy a ton of money to come in, and as he said at the opening press conference, there's going to be pain and suffering or whatever it is.
Yeah.
This year has not been painful. There have been games that have been painful, but, you know, they've achieved, or maybe to some degree, you know, are pushing towards overachieving, you know, the unfortunate reality is who they're going to match up against in the playoffs, and who's to say they can't beat Boston, right?
Right.
You know, and I think, again, when you get into the making of comparisons, and maybe this is where I buy in the positional aspect of certain guys being a little green. You look at everything that Steven Stamkos and the Tampa Bay Lightning have had to go through to get to this point. I mean, again, I remember Stamkos, when they lost the Stanley Cup final, he looked like a shell of a human being because everything had been poured into it physically and emotionally.
And
the idea that there was no more hockey and their chance was over was devastating. Like, it was wounding to that man. And yet, man, it looks like they've got as good a shot as any.
And even that
to
was
get back.
And years
that's
ago.
That's years ago. Yeah. So, again, that's my point of comparison.
Yes,
look at everything that the Lightning have had to go through and how they've built that team, you know, around superstar players.
And there's no guarantee. That's what it speaks to.
And that's the thing, because the counter to that was, well, the team they lost to in the Cup Final, Chicago, Taves and Kane won a Cup in like their third year in the league.
Yeah.
They weren't too green.
No.
Right. And Sid was in a Cup Final his third year in the league.
Yeah.
And won a Cup his fourth year in the league.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's
like
possible.
Every team has a different style and a different path.
And that's what it comes back to. It's a copycat league, but if there was a formula to win the Stanley Cup, everyone would do it. The Maple Leafs would have bought it.
Exactly.
Because they've got that much money. But they believe, and that almost leads to what Kyle Dubas's tweet was. Was that yesterday or 2 days ago?
Yeah, with the lines divided.
I think Kyle's a really smart guy, and I think he's done a very good job. I don't know if he had to put that tweet out there.
You don't have to do that.
Personally.
I'm much smarter than everyone.
No, it was sharing the mindset. He wouldn't tell me which general manager, but it was a philosophical share from another general manager who he highly respects.
Which is, I mean, maybe it's Lou. Who knows? But all I'm saying is Kyle believes that the formula that he's working with is going to be the path for the Toronto Maple Leafs to win the Stanley Cup. He may be right.
And he has to believe in himself.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no problem with that conviction.
Yeah.
And same with Babcock. Babcock believes he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
That's why he's getting paid $6 million.
LA won a cup a certain way, a certain style. And then everyone wanted to get heavier and meaner. And then Chicago won a little bit different, some skill, but you had goaltending, you have the spine of a team, and then Pittsburgh won, and everyone's like, well, you can't win without strength down the middle. You've got to have this. Well, Toronto, if they end up winning, it'll be on their own formula. But Tampa, to your point, Dregs, they've been there. Yeah. They've almost won, and they've had to regroup. They missed the playoffs the one year. It's crazy. They missed the playoffs and had to retool. I think on this show we were like, Steve Yzerman could be in tough, you know, missed the playoffs, and John Cooper may be on his last legs. We may have said that.
Yeah, I'm sure we did.
But, you know, they've regrouped.
And to add to that, now it's like give Cooper a lifetime contract. What if they lose in the first round?
Yeah.
If they lose in the first round, people in Tampa are going to be like, fire this guy.
He doesn't have a contract next year.
Exactly.
Is he not?
No, I mean,
it's a fickle world.
He doesn't have one yet.
Yeah.
And he's making like 2.5.
Imagine winning the President's Cup or the President's Trophy a week and a half ago and the guy doesn't have a contract. What the hell do you got to do? What the hell do you got to do? Yeah, exactly.
Barry Trotz.
Yeah.
Went and printed his own contract this year, $20 million.
And the same would apply to John Cooper.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Dregs. Good seeing you, buddy. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
There's Darren Dreger, TSN hockey analyst.